So we've been told over the course of this year, after our 44 odd rate cuts and 88 individual cuts from 40 odd banks, 9,000 basis points delivered last year to reprop a global economy that had been slowing really since the peak of global synchronized growth in 2017, material slowdown in 18, but then a narrative which everybody understood in 19 being the trade war. And this will give us this mid-cycle adjustment that I guess central bankers are desperately hoping will accelerate into some broader recovery. They have, however, told us at the end of last year that they will put some asymmetry around this with regard to policy, meaning they will deliver more if things get nasty, but they're very unlikely to take the policy that has already been given to the markets away on slightly better outcomes. Now, we were certainly enjoying slightly better outcomes at the start of this year, but as we've just discussed, obviously a host of things have arisen which will throw all of that into a huge level of uncertainty. But with that policy accommodation, and specifically the additional $500 billion plus that the Federal Reserve has thrown behind the system as of this September repo spike, markets are absolutely loving excess liquidity again. And it reminds us of a period around the 1999 Y2K. You'll well remember, planes are going to fall out of the sky come the year 2000. Of course, it never happened. But we had $120 billion delivered in excess liquidity by the Fed at that time. And they ran that program all the way through to April of 2000, where it rolled off fairly quickly. Of course, the week after that, we had a 25% drop in the NASDAQ. That is not what I'm predicting at all, other than to say central bankers are acutely aware of providing excess liquidity and the outcomes that they will get. They will get status quo economic outcomes of low growth, low inflation, calm societies, despite the fact that we're all going through this very polarizing political environment, and that's continuing to play out before our very eyes as we look at the US election. But we do believe that it will be quite good for asset performance. Now, clearly, I come at it from the fixed income side, from the defensive side. All we've ever argued as a fund manager of defensive assets is that they have a role to play inside a broader portfolio. They are a small piece of a much bigger jigsaw. But we've always argued for diversification in that portfolio and to remain fully invested. And to that point, I do agree that cash in this day is trash because there are much better things to do with your money and fantastic solutions for you guys to utilize on behalf of your clients. But with this safety net underneath the markets, where we will continue to offer additional liquidity seemingly all around the world, be that in the United States, be that out of the ECB, it is likely to be very supportive for all assets again. And we are going through a secular rewriting of this as discount rates are coming down, and the expectation is that they will stay down because it's very difficult to build a sustained inflation profile that doesn't crater the entire system. Now, that is not to say that inflation can rise. Of course it can, as bond yields can rise. Bonds can sell off a bit. But we need to be very careful about talking about 5% inflation. Because if we have 5% inflation and the central bankers that our inflation targeters are credible, we have an awfully disinflationary asset market. Everything that has enjoyed this secular rally up gets slaughtered much faster on the way down. And so it's our contention that after this 35 years of declining long-term interest rates, we're very likely to have a broad period here where they're not going to do too much, notwithstanding they'll rise and fall a little bit. But that major secular rewriting for so many assets is now complete. We simply cannot go to, negative 10% kind of long-dated rates. But the fascinating thing about that in summation is that even at negative rates, bonds did very well for investors in 2019.